thanks to the ladies and gentlemen who have come to participate from outside Lebanon, who have put up with the very, very long traveling hours to come here. My personal relationship with Imam Khamenei goes back to 1986. Of course, I had the chance to meet with him a number of times. I had close meetings with him and I got to know many of his ideas, many of his points of view, his perspectives, and the way he thinks, the way he analyzes the events and the situations. I got to know how he leads, how he manages the affairs, and how he makes or how he carries out the decision making, in addition to the great ethical descriptions, his ethics, and how moderate he is, someone who takes in, someone who of course is really religious, and someone who has a lot of very positive descriptions, a very highly ethical man. I read a lot about him, and I can say that I followed up a lot of his speeches. The majority of his speeches, I followed them up, in addition to his sessions, his conferences. Ever since he became the supreme leader after the passing away of Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon his soul, until today. I am saying this so that I can give a witness, so I can speak as a witness. I also listened to a lot of his religious sermons on many different occasions, and after getting to know the testimonies and listening to what was said by many people who knew him very well, whether they be religious intellectuals or general intellectuals or leaders or politicians or cultural intellectuals, and after I focused very much on his jihadist life and his political life in general, the political path he took, I can say very honestly that here we witness a great imam in leadership, someone who can really lead, a great leader in religion, in a religious life, in living a religious life, a great imam in fiqh and ijtihad, religious teachings, a great imam in thinking. We witness a man here who has a complete deep vision, a solid vision, which is based upon the following. First of all, educational and genuine intellectual thinking. Second of all, knowing the needs of modern day life and the problems we face today. Number three, knowing the human capabilities and the material capabilities which we have in our ummah. Number four, knowing the appropriate solutions which are in agreement with the Islamic teachings and Islamic norms. And so we find that he approaches every single event and every development, every single issue, with a clear vision. And this is based upon what I just said, the complete vision which he has. And in all the meetings he holds, whatever be the expertise of the people he meets with, you will find that you here witness are looking at a man who has complete knowledge, even in details, about all issues, and he speaks about such issues as if he's an expert, and he also represents new points, new angles to all these issues. I will speak about some examples here regarding this matter. Of course, I have met with Imam Khamenei, and I will speak about some examples. For example, with his meetings with the Islamic religious figures, when he meets with the Islamic religious figures, those who teach Islamic religion, he speaks about the Hawza, Islamic religious schools, and he speaks as someone who is an expert on how to educate people about the Islamic religion, how to develop Islamic religious teachings, about maintaining and preserving the classical and modern ways of teaching Islamic religion. When he meets with the intellectuals, the university professors, the university students, he speaks about the university, the teaching programs in the universities, the problems in universities. He speaks as if he's any expert professional teacher, a university teacher. when he speaks, for example, with certain women groups, or when he speaks to the women in such meetings, for example, he expresses his vision and his perspective about the woman and the role of women and her stance and her responsibilities in confronting modern challenges. When he meets with the religion, with the economic experts, with the businessmen, economic figures, he speaks about the economic situation and he presents a vision and a general policy. He calls on the Islamic system to also commit itself to such principles. When he meets with engineers, with agricultural people, farmers, school teachers, just very recently he met with experts in the area of manufacturing. He spoke very deeply about manufacturing. When he met with FIFA experts in the theatre, he spoke about filming and the production of films and the aims of further developing this. When he meets with people, poets, for example, musicians, artists, he meets with people who recite the Holy Quran, people who also speak and make poems about the Holy Prophet. When he speaks about the environment, in addition to his meetings with the politicians and even in the military arena, I was present in one of the sessions whereby he was speaking, and I found that he knows the different types of weapons. He's an expert of different weapons. He's an expert on different military strategies, even the tactics of military warfare and how to use weaponry. We find ourselves here looking at a man who is great, a unique man. And we find that many people in this ummah don't know a lot. They only know little about Imam Khamenei. We also realize how people behave unjustly to him as well in his ummah and in Iran as well. I don't think he's given what he deserves, if they allow me. And also, another important perspective when it comes to the leadership and the political perspective, he also takes responsibility of leading the ummah. He has been taking this responsibility for 22 years. He has taken this responsibility for 22 years now. Of course, this personality is surrounded by enemies, and the friends are even not doing enough, not giving this personality what it deserves. As I said, this personality is surrounded by the enemies who are trying to create myths and distort the real facts about this person. Are not doing enough to give this personality what it deserves. We must give the ummah, teach the ummah about this imam so that the ummah can be blessed with his presence. Such a leader, such a religious figure, such a thinker, who is good for the past, present, future. And this ummah, of course, at the same time is facing many challenges on many different arenas. Our ummah has not witnessed such challenges over the past centuries or past decades. And so this is the mission, this is the main aim of this very important conference, very important, sensitive conference. Allow me, in the time which I have, to speak about the leadership and the political perspective in the personality of Imam Khamenei by this speaking about his stances, what we've witnessed before. This shows how much he knows, how precise his knowledge is, how precise and correct his analysis is, and his expectations, his predictions are about the aims in the Middle East, the developments in the Middle East, and also how correct his wise stances are and how courageous these stances are, the stances which he took and which he is still taking until now. And I will speak about some of these matters, some examples. I will speak about just a few examples, although I have a lot of examples because the time does not allow us. And I will also take into consideration the political circumstances we're witnessing. I'm not going to speak completely about all the examples, however, I will just speak about the appropriate, examples in order not to create any internal Lebanese political controversy or regional controversy as well. Of course, I have many examples. When we have a faqih, a religious teacher, such an Islamic thinker in Iran or a leader in Iran who deals with the events in our region here, in such a way, in such clarity, this is a very, very important signal, a message being sent. We're not speaking now about someone who lives in Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, or Jordan, or Egypt, in a place where the real conflict exists, where the direct conflict exists. I chose some realities which I will point out to, because they are realities which we all lived through over the past two decades. I will begin with the Madrid conference in 1991. We all remember when the Americans came after what happened in Iran, and the situation changed in the region and in the world, and America became the only superpower, and it called on all different sides for the first time, and for the first time Arab delegations sat on the same table. Arab delegations from different Arab countries, including Lebanon and Syria, they sat together on the same table. At that time, at that period, because the regional equation changed and big changes occurred in the region, big transformations occurred, and on the other hand, the American administration announced its determination to bring about what it called a just peace, a just comprehensive peace, and we call it an imposed settlement, of course. At that time, many people believed, and actually, there was a near consensus in our region which said that we are on the doorstep of a settlement, and that there is no escape from a settlement, because the Americans will impose the conditions of a solution. They will impose these conditions on all the concerned countries in such a settlement. On that day, I remember that Imam Khamenei, he had his own point of view regarding this issue outside this so-called consensus. And you will notice in the other examples which I will mention, you will notice also similar stances he made in other situations. He said at that period, he said that this Madrid conference will not reach any results. And he said that this settlement will not be reached. And he said that America will not be able to impose a settlement on the governments and the peoples of this region. And now, after around 20 years have passed, we listen to other parties who participate in negotiations, and some personalities who participated in the Madrid conference and who continue to negotiate. And when they speak about two decades of disappointment, two decades of frustration, of loss, which was brought about because of these so-called negotiations. In 1996, everybody also recalls the development, or what happened regarding the Israeli-Syrian negotiations. A certain breakthrough occurred in those negotiations. And they spoke about the steps taken by Ishaq Rabin and Ishaq Rabin's readiness, as was said at that time, his readiness to withdraw to the June 4 lines, the June 4 lines of 1967, meaning withdrawing from the Golan Heights, going to the June 4 lines of 1967, June 4 boundaries. And there was a situation in Lebanon, Palestine, Jordan, Egypt. There was a sense in all these countries, everybody said that we have a settlement coming up, and especially because in 1993 the Oslo Agreement was signed and the Palestinian Authority continued to negotiate. So Egypt, it made its peace agreement, or so did Jordan, and we saw the Palestinian Authority, it also conducted or signed the Oslo Agreement. What remained was Lebanon and Syria. The most important condition to bring about an agreement between Syria and Israel withdrawing to the June 4 borders, Ishaq Rabin recognized this necessity at that time, as they said, to withdraw. And so they said we were at the end stages, and what remained was just a few details which could be solved in a few rounds of negotiations. That was the sense at that time. I remember during that period, that atmosphere, that environment, some people told us in many different places and from many different places as well, they told us, don't waste your energy. You know, in 1996, the resistance was still evolving, was still growing. And they told us everything has ended and there is no need for you to spill your blood, to sacrifice your martyrs. There's no need for you to fight, to confront, to sacrifice, because some have called on us to begin to manage our affairs based upon the following, that a settlement has been reached. And they order even not just to reconsider our nature as resistance movement, but also to reconsider our name, to reconsider our structure, our political rhetoric, our political agenda. And they called on us to think what we should do, to find a solution to our weapons. What should we do with our military capabilities, which we had at that time? That's what they told us, because they believed that the whole thing has ended, that a settlement would be reached. Of course, any mistake in evaluation at that time could have very negative, dangerous repercussions, because the resistance, once the resistance is paralyzed, once it no longer has a vision, or when it stops, then what was achieved by this resistance would no longer be achieved. I mean that if we had stopped at that time, we wouldn't have been able to achieve victory in 2006 had we stopped in 1996. Of course, this sense that a settlement would be reached, and there was also a certain level of such an analysis in Iran. Even certain people in Iran believed a settlement would be reached and the whole thing would end. However, when we went to Imam Khamenei, may God preserve him for us, I, together with a few of my colleagues, we went and met with Imam Khamenei, and we gave him this vision. We told him, this is what people are telling us, there's no longer a need for you to sacrifice or to resist. Imam Khamenei told us and answered, he said, I don't think this will happen. I don't think a settlement will be reached. I don't believe that such a settlement between Israel and Syria will be reached, and a settlement between Israel and Lebanon will be reached. I don't think this will happen. And he also continued, he said, I propose to you, my advice is, and this is the way he speaks, he said, my advice is, he said, I propose that you continue, that the resistance continue, that the jihad continue. And I even think that I propose that you would escalate your jihad and resistance so that you achieve victory. And do not focus your ears on all of these assumptions and all of what is being said about the possibility of a settlement. Don't focus on this. Of course, at that time, we believed that this talk is outside the circle of all the other analysis, all of the rhetoric which we were listening to in Lebanon and also well elsewhere in the region. After we returned from that meeting with Imam Khamenei, I think that just 2 or 3 weeks after that meeting, Ishaq Rabin was making a speech in Tel Aviv, and a extremist Zionist, and well, they all are extremists by the way, but an extremist Zionist opened fire and shot Ishaq Rabin, and Ishaq Rabin was killed. And Shimon Peres came in as Israeli Prime Minister. And at that time, the Hamas movement and the Islamic Jihad were subject to many severe, very, very harsh blows, severe blows. And even some people thought that there is no capability for the Palestinians to carry out any military operations. But then we saw the martyrdom operations in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and in Tel Aviv, these operations which shook the Israeli entity at that time. And then we saw the tension with South Lebanon, and a conference was held in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, which brought together the leaders of the world in 1996. In order to defend Israel and to condemn what they call terrorism. And they specified by name Hamas and the Islamic Jihad and Hezbollah. And threats were made and decisions were adopted to isolate these so-called terrorist movements, to stop their financing and to pressure these movements. And then we saw the Grapes of Wrath operation in April 1996, the Israeli military operation against Lebanon. And after that military operation, Shimon Peres lost the elections and Benjamin Netanyahu came into office, and we went back to square one, to zero. Where did Imam Khamenei get his information from? How did he make these conclusions? How was he very decisive when he said that no settlement would be reached? Because at the same time, all the political experts, political analysts, all political leaders believed that everything was going towards a different direction, towards a settlement. This is the second example. Now the third example. When it comes to the resistance in Lebanon, he always spoke about the victory of the resistance. However, before the year 2000, he never spoke about the time of achieving victory. He spoke about the principle of victory. But before the year 2000, he never said when this victory would happen. He always said he believed that the resistance will achieve victory because he has an understanding of what was said by the, what is said by the Holy Book. If you make God victorious, if you fight in God's cause, God will make you victory. God never jokes, of course. This is how simple it is. God speaks to us seriously, and he says, if you fight for my cause, God will make you victorious. This resistance fights for the cause of God, and God will always make this resistance the victor. Now, after 1996, he said that the Israelis are stuck in the mud, as someone who's stuck in the mud. From one side, they cannot make progress. They cannot go forward and invade Lebanon once again, nor can they retreat or withdraw to occupied Palestine because of the dangers of such a withdrawal without any preconditions. Neither can they stay in their place, neither can the Israelis stay where they are. So they are like someone who is stuck in the mud, someone in very big trouble, and we must wait to see what this Israeli will do. But it's very natural, it's very normal that it depends on the continuation of the resistance. In the year 2000, or before the year 2000, during the end of 1999, we witnessed elections, parliamentary elections in the Israeli entity, Israeli parliamentary elections. The competitors were Ehud Barak and Benjamin Netanyahu. They were the candidates. And both of them promised that if they achieve victory, the elections of the prime minister, not the parliamentary elections. Each of them, they said that if they achieve victory, they will withdraw from Lebanon. Ehud Barak, he specified a timeline, a specific time to withdraw. On the 7th of July, he promised to withdraw on July 7, the year 2000. And the weeks and months were progressing and going by, and the general atmosphere in Lebanon and in Syria, what was it? It was the following. We will reach the specific timetable and the Israelis won't withdraw. This is what the belief was in Lebanon, Syria, Israeli figures. Barak, via his American friends and other European countries, Barak strived to get guarantees or certain security arrangements or certain security agreements with the Lebanese government or with the former Syrian president, the late Hafez al-Assad, but he failed. The general sense, the general atmosphere in these countries, in our countries, was that the Israeli occupation army will not withdraw. And when the time comes, it is very easy for Ehud Barak to abandon the time which he specified and to tell his people, I promised you to withdraw on the 7th of July. However, because I didn't get any guarantees, nor did I get any arrangements, any conditions, hence withdrawing is a strategic danger, a strategic mistake, and I won't go ahead. Barak could have said this. And I want to be very clear to you, even we ourselves, we in Hezbollah, on the political level and on the jihadist level, we also were in the same, we're living the same atmosphere as the other people in our country, in the region. We also believe that Barak will abandon his promise. We also then visited the Islamic Republic of Iran and we met with Imam Khamenei and we explained to him our perspective, our point of view regarding the events and regarding the expectations, what could happen. However, Imam Khamenei had another point of view, a very different point of view and a surprising point of view. He said, in the presence of many of our colleagues, he said that your victory in Lebanon is very, very near, very, very near. And it is nearer and closer than you expect, and you will witness this victory with your own two eyes. this was in contradiction to all the analysis, all of the readings, all of the information at that time. And even information, no information at the time revealed or said that Israel was preparing to withdraw from southern Lebanon. And he told our colleagues, Imam Khamenei, he said, when you return to Lebanon, prepare yourselves for this achievement. What will your political rhetoric be after this victory? How will you react? How will you behave if the Israeli enemy withdraws to the border? We went with a certain vision to Islamic Republic and we came back with a different vision, a different point of view. And for that reason, we were not surprised by the surprising withdrawal of Israeli forces on the 25th of May, the year 2000. And we had prepared ourselves to react with the how to behave on the border areas, how to deal with the spies, how to deal with the borders when we reach the borders. We had prepared for all of these steps. And now in the July 2006 war, put up with me just a bit more. In the July 2006 war, at the very beginning, at the beginning days, the first days of the July 2006 war, and this was a world war on the level of decision making, and an Arab war on the level of support, an Israeli war on the level of implementation, who carried out the war. Of course, when I mean Arab support, because some Arab countries actually adopted the decision to launch a war on Hezbollah. The main title of the war was to crush the resistance in Lebanon. And you all witnessed the brutality of the Israeli attack, especially on the, at the beginning of the war. They spoke about what kind of victory they could achieve, and they even spoke about survival and exiting this war in a stable, exiting this war in a stable situation, condition is crazy because you have a resistance whose capabilities are very known and you are in a small country and a conspiracy is being practiced against you by the whole world and such a brutal, difficult war is being waged against you. So any thought of exiting this war in a stable condition is crazy. This is what people said. And for the first time, I will say, I got a message was sent to me, a verbal message was sent to me when I was in southern Beirut. This verbal message was that the buildings are collapsing, buildings are being brought to rubble by the Israeli bombardment. A verbal message of many pages, which included many pages, but I will choose some sentences about these messages which were sent. Imam Khamenei, in a message which was sent to me, he said, my dear brothers, my dear colleagues, this war is similar to the war of Al-Khandaq, the war which occurred during the time of the Prophet, may peace be upon him, when Quraysh and the Jews and the different tribes, when they got all their strength together and they surrounded the Prophet Muhammad and his colleagues in Medina, and the decision was made to eradicate the presence of these faithful people, these religious people. He said this is a very similar war, similar to that war. And you will, of course, have many different beliefs, but depend on God. And I would like to tell you that you will be victorious. You will certainly be victorious. This is what Imam Khamenei told us. He told us you will be victorious, definitely. And in it, I will even add to that and say, when this war ends with your victory, you will become a force which nobody can stand against. This is what Imam Khamenei told us. Who could have made such a prediction? Who could have reached such a conclusion, especially at the very beginning of the war, during the opening days? After the events of September 11, this is the example before the last, because in the last example I want to speak about Palestine. The other example I want to speak about is after September 11 and the decision made by the American administration to wage a war on Afghanistan, and it was the very beginning, the beginning of the war in Afghanistan, of course, they sent the ships, they sent the American forces to that country, and there were also threats to occupy Iraq after ending the war in Afghanistan, or after ending the battle in Afghanistan. You remember at that time how the hearts and the brains shook and people held their breath, and many believed that our region had entered into the American era and had entered into American hegemony, direct American hegemony. And everybody believed that this American control would continue in our region, would continue for 100 years or 200 years. And some people even compared the American invasion or the American New War to the Crusader Wars. And somebody said that the American occupation would be similar to the occupation of the Crusaders, and they said this would continue for 100 or 200 years. I was on a visit to the Islamic Republic at that time, and I had the honor of meeting with Imam Khamenei, and I asked him about his point of view. Now I'm speaking about Iran. He is, of course, the Iranian leader. He's responsible for Iran, and the Americans came and attacked Afghanistan, which is next to him, and Iraq, which is also next to him. And he, of course, the American military bases and American military surrounds him from all different sides. So here, I'm not speaking for a political and intellectual or someone from an institute. I'm speaking to a leader who will make decisions based upon his vision, who will pursue policies based upon his vision. He told me, contrary to what is being said, he said many of the governments, and of course I would like to remind you, many of the governments said, how should we arrange our situation with the Americans? We must speak to the Americans and find solutions with the Americans. Today I'm speaking a lot, I'm criticizing the Iranians a bit, even some officials in the Islamic Republic, and this is what was said by Imam Khamenei in the holy month of Ramadan. He said this. He said that even some Iranian officials, some officials in the Islamic Republic, used to approach the Supreme Leader, Imam Khamenei. They told him these are the new realities and we must look for a way to hold dialogue or to reach a settlement with the American administration. He told me this is what Iranian officials told him. However, he refused. And because of his courage or his enthusiasm, it's not because of this, no. It's because of a strategic vision. That's why he refused, because he has a strategic vision of the past, present and future. He told me on that day, after I asked him what he thinks about this situation, I told him there's an atmosphere of anxiety and concern. Even we were concerned at that time. He told me, don't be concerned, don't worry. He told me that the United States of America has reached its peak. It has reached its peak, and now the beginning of going down has begun. And he took his hand in this direction. When they come to Afghanistan and Iraq, they will begin to go down from this peak. And this is the beginning of the end of the United States of America and the American project in our region. And you must react and behave according to this. Of course, this is based upon insight, upon, of course, certain information. I told him, how do you make such a prediction? Because we don't see this now. He said, when the American project or when the American administration, when it's incapable and when it cannot preserve its interests via the regimes which are its allies in the region, and when its armies and its military in the region is not enough. Of course, at that time, we did have military bases and we did have a lot of American military presence. And when they are obliged to get their military from other parts of the world to bring them to this region, this shows that they are incapable. It doesn't show that they're strong. And this also shows that the rulers and the decision makers in America are ignorant when it comes to knowing the nature of the people of the region, the people who reject occupation, hegemony and control, and people who do belong to a culture and history of jihad and resistance. And so when the Americans come to our region, they will drown in the mud and they will look for a way to escape. And so what is going on is nothing to be worried about. However, on the contrary, it is something which we should be hopeful about, something which will lead the people of our region to rid themselves of the hegemony of the arrogant powers. Here, my dear brothers and sisters, the human being really stops and wonders and focuses on the leadership of this imam, a leadership which many people don't know about. I can tell you, over the last decade, our ummah and our region faced the most dangerous war which in history, the most dangerous war it has faced in history. The United States of America and its Western allies, many countries of the world, with all their force, their military force, their security force, their intelligence strength, with all their capabilities, their media capabilities, their technical capabilities, their financial capabilities, their economic capabilities, with all their psychological warfare, with everything they had, they came to take control of this region, to occupy our countries, and to overthrow the resistive regimes and the resistive movements. This was the project of George Bush. They wanted to establish the new Middle East. Imam Khamenei was the leader of this confrontation at the most difficult war, which was in need of a lot of wisdom and a lot of courage and strong stances. But until now, we cannot uncover a lot of other angles regarding the role which was played by this leadership, by this great leadership. I will conclude with speaking about Palestine, about Israel. Imam Khamenei believes, I'm speaking about what he says in the private meetings, not in his speeches, he believes that Israel, this entity, will end. This entity is coming to an end. He believes this. He believes this completely decisively. And he believes that the end of Israel is not far off. It's not going to be in a faraway time. He believes that this end is near. And he believes that this settlement will not reach anywhere. Everything going on around us in Palestine and in our region, whether it be what happened in the negotiations track or when it comes to the victories achieved by the resistance movements in Lebanon and in Palestine, or on the level of the latest awakening of the Palestinians who live outside the occupied territories, which proves that the Palestinians have a solid will in resisting. Of course, 60 years have passed, over 60 years have passed. The pains, the hardships, the torture which these people have suffered from, all of this did not push the Palestinians to be frustrated. There are politicians who are frustrated, who have lost hope, who are in a state of despair. However, these youngsters who listen, who hear about Nakba and Naksa, but who witnessed the era of victories, these people, this generation, is assuring us that we will be witnessing generations of Palestinians who will live a strong hope and who will push forward to return to their homeland. My dear brothers and sisters, what is said by Imam Khamenei about Israel is something we can understand when we look at the way America has lost ground in our region and in the world, and when we look at certain developments which have happened which are in favor of resistance project in the region and resistance movements, and we look at people who have lost hope in the negotiations track, and when we look at this readiness to sacrifice, this readiness we can see in the eyes of the Palestinians and in the Arab youngsters, and when we see the absence of leadership, of historic leaders in Israel, absence of Israeli leadership, and when we evaluate what happened in the July 2006 war and the Gaza war, together with Imam Khomeini, we can believe that Israel will end very soon, God willing. Israel will come to an end very soon. This is based on the following. Now, I don't want to speak about something which is intangible in reaching such an understanding. Such a correct prediction is based upon the pillars of correct analysis in Imam Khamenei's political thinking and how he correctly reads the situation, and also based upon his courage. Even if his thinking is correct, even if he reads and analyzes the scenario correct, however, sometimes we have people who are afraid and who will change the strategic thinking in favor of a weak stance, a stance of surrender. But here, this leader has courage. Of course, to also, with God's help, with God's support, and this is God's promise to the Mujahideen. He said, those who practice jihad in our cause, we will reward them. If we take all of this into consideration, we can really look at the essence of this vigilant, knowledgeable leader who can read even outside the consensus which is reached by political analysts and certain institutions, political institutions, study centers or think tanks. Now, at the time where we are opening this conference, at the end of this speech, we must once again stand in respect and appreciation in front of the Palestinians, appreciation of the Palestinians, especially the youngsters, the Mujahideen, the courageous, heroic Palestinians and Syrians who gathered on the borders of the occupied Golan Heights. And we must salute their appreciation to be present and to confront and to challenge and to stand up to the Israelis. We must also salute the martyrs and those who were wounded who fell yesterday. There was a clear message which was being delivered yesterday, a message of determination which exists in this ummah. And this also uncovers the reality of the American administration and the Western governments, especially the American administration, which hopes and aspires to steal the revolution, Arab revolutions, and to trick the Arab youngsters. This blood has once again uncovered the real nature of this American administration, the real nature of its stances, and this blood has assured us, or what happened has assured us, that the Americans are totally committed to Israel's security, as Obama said, and as the Congress who applauded Netanyahu just a few days ago, as they said. On the contrary, the American administration even says that what happened yesterday on the border is legitimate self-defense. So what happened yesterday uncovered the real nature of America once again. The Americans didn't condemn, they told Israel, God bless you. This is the real nature of America, which speaks to us about human rights, about dignity, about freedom. This cleansed blood, which was spilt yesterday to the vigilance and the political historic vigilance which was launched by Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon him, and after him Imam Khamenei. These are some examples which I'd like to refer to, some of the examples I'd like to speak about in reference to the personality of Imam Khamenei when we speak about a wise, courageous leader, a leader who can manage the affairs. Of course, we begin with these facts, these realities, which are just a bit a part of the truth, and we cannot speak about all of the truth, all of the facts. I hope that your conference is successful. I hope your conference can do just a bit to give Imam Khamenei what he deserves. I hope that this can achieve what you want, all you participants, all your religious leaders. I hope this is successful, especially at this time, the time of great divisions. May God bless you, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.